Welcome on into the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Today, we are going to be doing one of our conference roundups. Usually try to do this every 10 or so games. Most of the teams in the league are through about 11 or 12 games. There's a couple through 13. There's a couple through just 10. So we're right about where we want to put them. But if you're new to the channel, to the podcast, basically what I try to do in these roundups, we have 15 teams in each conference. 15 times 4 is 60, which is 1 hour. So I try to talk about each team for about 4 minutes. May go over on some teams, may go under. But just to recap everybody on what's going on throughout the season, any trends that we're seeing, injuries, just trying to get the basketball news out, but in a very concise format. So without any further ado, we'll get on into it. Today we're covering the Western Conference, and we are doing it by record, instead of alphabetical order like we normally would. So we're going to start with the first team in the standings or work our way down to the bottom team in the standings. So team number one is the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are currently 9-3, and Nikola Jokic is playing like he wants to be the MVP again. He is averaging 29.7 points, 14.1 rebounds, and 9.2 assists. He is just by far the leader of this team. When Jamal Murray has been out of the game, they've just been going through Jokic full time instead of splitting it up, and the offense has remained just extremely effective with him running the show. One of the big stories this summer for the Nuggets was losing Bruce Brown. You know, just a super high-energy guy that came off the bench for them, but played a lot of minutes. Great defense, really versatile on the offensive end. And so far they've been trying to replace him with Christian Brown, who is a second-year player. And he's been playing well. He's had his struggles. But so far he's playing about 20 minutes a game, giving him 8.7 points per game. Shooting 48% from the field, only 30% from three, which he came out of Kansas as a three-point shooter, so I'd imagine that would go up as the season goes on. This is just a really solid team. They have good role players around Jokic and Jamal Murray. Michael Porter Jr. is playing real well to start off the season. Aaron Gordon's playing really well. The couple areas where I see that they could have some improvement is possibly getting a better backup center. Currently it's Zeke Nnaji playing as the backup center, which when Jokic is healthy and playing, I mean, he's going to cover, 36 minutes, so you only need 12 minutes of backup center play anyway. But Zeke Nnaji is just a little undersized. He's probably more of a power forward. And then, it's also just not bad to have a good third option there. DeAndre Jordan is just not going to cut it. And then at the point guard, Jamal Murray missed a couple games, and it was up to Reggie Jackson to run the backup point guard. And then after that, they really don't have anybody. So they had to run the offense solely through Jokic. So I would look for them to, whether it be later on around buyout time or maybe through a trade, to add another solid guard that can handle the ball and take some of the pressure off of Jokic and the other guys throughout the game, especially if Jamal Murray is injured or, in foul trouble or whatever it may be. Next up in the standings is the Dallas Mavericks. They are 9-3 as well, so they're tied with the Nuggets. Luka is having an amazing season as well. He is averaging 30.7 points, 7.8 rebounds, and 8.1 assists on a shooting line of 50% from the field, 42% from three, and 76% from the free throw line. He is a guy that puts up a lot of threes, over 9 threes a game. And to be shooting 42% from three, that is huge. That is by far his best mark of his career so far. As a team, the the Mavericks are shooting 39.5% from three as a team. So they have really been shooting the lights out of the ball. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about in just a second here. But I also wanted to talk about Kyrie, you know, him being the second option. Second option there to Luka being the second star. He's having a really solid year as well. He's 22 points per game, 4 rebounds, 6.5 assists, 46% from the field, 40% from three, 85% from the free throw line. Those two have just really been playing well together. They offset them, so they try to have at least one of those two guys on the court as much as possible. And offensively, the Mavericks have just been really good this year. Now, one of the things that makes me a little worried about how good they've been is I don't know that it's really sustainable. You have a guy like Derrick Jones Jr. playing in the starting lineup who has just never been a shooter. He's shooting 37% from three right now. And it's mostly because he's getting very wide open looks because Luka and Kyrie draw so much attention, but I just don't see him holding that high of a mark. And then the other guy in the starting lineup along with those guys is Grant Williams. And Grant Williams is a good shooter, but he's shooting 49% from three right now. That is just not sustainable for anybody. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, Kyle Korver, Ray Allen, Steph Curry. Like, that is just not a sustainable number for anybody. And again, he's getting wide open looks because Luka and Kyrie are drawing attention. But probably the most unsustainable one is Tim Hardaway Jr. shooting 40% from three. And he, throughout his entire career, has been a gunner. He's a guy that puts up a lot of shots, and he misses a lot of shots. So him shooting 40% from three, I just don't see it holding up. So, and even Luka at 42, like, I see him going back down to his normal, you know, 35, 36% from three just because of how high of a volume and the shot difficulty. But overall, the Mavericks have looked good. Their defense is better. Derek Lively has been starting for them at center. He is a rookie. He's a 19-year-old rookie. But he's, you know, been doing a good job. 9 points, 7 boards, a block, shooting 73% from the field because all he has to do is just catch lobs. But again, he's a rookie and he's very, very skinny as well. And so when they start getting into more playoff time and things slow down and there's not as much of an opening, I just don't know how well he's going to do. I don't know how well those two forwards that I talked about are going to do. This is a team that seems to be set up really well for the regular season. I just don't know when we get to the postseason and things really tighten up, I don't know how well they're going to do. Next is the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are 8-3 right now. This team can really defend. Gobert is playing at a Defensive Player of the Year level again. They have tons of size. The only small guy that they play is Mike Conley, and when he's on the court, he usually has Gobert and Towns and Jaden McDaniels with him. When they go to their bench, they bring in Kyle Anderson and Naz Reid, who all have size. Nickeil Alexander-Walker does a good job for them. Shake Milton. This is a team that really, really knows how to play defense. Anthony Edwards has been their best offensive player this year so far. 26 points per game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He's playing extremely well. Towns is putting up okay numbers. 21 points, 9 boards, but he's only shooting 34% from 3. And he's a guy that in the past has shot 40% from 3. And the thing that I really worry about with Towns is if you watch him play, he looks like he's in pain all the time. He looks like his hips just have zero flexibility to them at all. So I just don't know how well he's going to hold up as the season goes on. The nice thing about that, though, is Naz Reid has been phenomenal off the bench. He's only playing 21 minutes off the bench per game, but he's putting up 13 points, 4 rebounds, shooting 54% from the field, 44% from three, and 95% from the free throw line. Now, again, like I said, with the Dallas guys, I don't know that those shooting numbers are sustainable, but I don't think he's going to drop off that much. He's been really good coming off the bench. He can play right alongside Rudy Gobert or Karl Anthony Towns. And again, like I was saying, Rudy Gobert has been playing at a Defensive Player of the Year level again. You know, he's won the award 3 times, should have won it 5 times, should have won it the year that he lost to Draymond, should have won it the year that he lost to Marcus Smart. But anyway, he is back to that level of player. He's on the offense, he's not really doing a whole ton. He's just kind of, he's stands behind the below the basket, catches lobs. But, you know, he's still putting up 11 points, but he's pulling down 12.5 rebounds, blocking 2.5 blocks, or blocking 2.5 shots per game. And he has really been the catalyst for this team being as good as they are on the defensive end. And I think that they can continue to get better on that end of the floor. And then I think Towns should be able to become more consistent on the offensive end, which will help them out a lot as well. Next up, so fourth in the standings is actually Oklahoma City. They are a team that's been building for the last few years. They have a lot of young guys, and they are good. They're scary too. They have a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, and their guys are so young, they're just going to keep getting better. They have a really good coach. Gilgeous-Alexander is playing at an all-NBA level again, 28.8 points per game, 6.5 boards, 6 assists, 2.5 steals per game. And the great thing is, when he's not in the game, the Thunder are still good this year. Like, last year, when Shea was not in the game, they were awful. He would get them a lead, and then by the time he came back in the game, even after just resting for a couple minutes, they'd be in a deficit again. He'd have to try and fight them back into it. They're still good when he's not in the game. They have two young guys that they drafted last year that are playing a big role on this team. Jalen Williams, averaging 17 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. Chet Holmgren is in the running for Rookie of the Year. He missed all of last year because of an injury, so he's technically a rookie this year. But he's averaging 15.5 points, 8 boards, 2 blocks, shooting 53% from the field, 44% from 3, and 91% from the free throw line. This team, like the Mavericks, is also shooting 39.5% from 3 as a team. So again, I just don't know how sustainable that's going to be. But they have guys that can move the ball. They have guys that can shoot. And so I think it's more likely for this team than it is for the Mavericks. Now, Holmgren probably will end up losing out on Rookie of the Year to Victor Wembanyama. I mean, we're only, 15% of the year, 15% of games into the season. And Victor Wembanyama is the Spurs' leading scorer and rebounder already. So it's going to be hard for Chet to beat him, but he's going to be right there the whole season, I think, as long as he can stay healthy. One of the crazy things about this team, too, is they're playing super well, and they definitely have the ability to make a star trade. Any star player that comes up, they could go out and get them. If it was Luka, if it was Karl-Anthony Towns, if it was Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, Joel Embiid, anybody, they could go out and get them. They have 15 first-round picks coming up in that are tradable right now. They have like 22 second round picks. They have young guys that would entice teams like Josh Giddey, Cason Wallace. They have contracts like Lou Dortz and Davis Bertans that could be used to absorb money. So they're going to be a fun team to watch all throughout the year. And then around trade deadline time, they could do something really exciting. Or they hold off, they wait until the summer and, you know, really know what they have and find that missing piece to go along with their big three with Shea, Chet, and Jalen Williams. So next up, fifth in the Western Conference, is the Sacramento Kings. They are currently 7-4, and that is with De'Aaron Fox missing a bunch of games. He is just about to come back from injury, which is huge for them. But while he's been out, DeMontis Sabonis has been dominant. Now, these stats I'm going to read out to you for DeMontis, you got to remember, De'Aaron's been out, so the defense has been trying to stop DeMontis Sabonis. Like, he's their number one priority. He's putting up 20 points per game, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, while shooting 61% from the field, 43% from three, and 64% from the free throw line. He has been just absolutely dominant. And then when they get De'Aaron Fox back, he before he got injured, was averaging 32 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 6 assists. This team could really be scary. They have really good role players that are all contributing in Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Kevin Herter, and Harrison Barnes. They are all helping this team and are all really solid players that will continue to help this team win a lot of games. This team does a really good job of moving the ball. They're averaging 27.5 assists per game, which has a chance, if they hold it to that number, that has a really good chance of being the top assists per game for a team in the entire league. Like, that is really moving the ball. One thing that I found very interesting with the Kings is Davion Mitchell has actually been pulled out of the rotation completely, even with De'Aaron Fox being out. He's just not getting on the floor. And this is a guy that they drafted in the lottery just a few years ago. And so for him to be completely out of the rotation, that's not a good sign. Keon Ellis, who's on a two-way contract with them, has actually been the starting point guard for the last couple games, and I think will probably be part of the normal rotation once Fox comes back as the backup point guard. It's a very interesting development there. Davion Mitchell was a very highly touted guy coming out of Baylor. In his rookie year, looked like he was going to be just a dominant defensive guard, and it just really has not come together for him. But this Kings team last year, they were third. They're third in the Western Conference, and I think they'll probably be right around there by the time we get to the end of the season. They defend well enough, but they are extremely dangerous on the offensive end. And like I said, they move the ball. They're not relying on guys just ISOing up. They move the ball. They play as a team. They have guys that can knock down shots. They have guys that they just added this summer in Sasha Vezenkov and Chris Duarte that can also knock down shots and fit really well with what this team tries to do on the offensive end. So next up in the Western Conference is actually the Houston Rockets, which is very surprising. Now, they did make a lot of moves this summer, and they said that they were trying to win games. But still, for being a team that was among the worst in the league last year, nobody really expected them to actually, you know, make a big jump. And in the first four games of the year, they were 0-4. And it's like, okay, yeah, still more of the same. Like, yeah, they look like they're a little bit more together. They have some vets that know what they're doing out there. Like, they'll probably win some more games than what they won last year. Since then, they've gone on a 6-game win streak, and they look good. Ime Udoka, as the new head coach of that team, has them playing really hard, has them looking really good. One thing that I've noticed, though, is they are playing a lot of veterans, a lot of minutes, and some of the younger guys, like Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Tar Eason, are not getting the minutes that I think they really should be getting. But that being said, they are still playing some of these young guys a lot of minutes. They just have so many young guys that they're trying to develop at one time. But Alperen Şengün has been their number one player this year. He is really looking like a mini Jokic, like the Rockets were saying that he could be when he came out of Turkey. I think he's from Turkey. Anyway, but Alperen Şengün is averaging 19.8 points per game, 8.2 rebounds, 5.8 assists, shooting 58% from the field. He's only shooting 29% from three. So to really be a threat from out there, he's going to have to bump that up to, you know, 35% or so. But he has really looked good. It looks to me like he's improving on the defensive end as well. Their big acquisition in free agency this year was Fred VanVleet. They gave him a massive contract, basically at $40 million per year. And he's been playing really well for them. And he's been the leader that they needed. That's the biggest reason they brought him in, was to be a leader, to really organize the young guys, teach them up, and make them a cohesive team. He is averaging 17.4 points, 3.9 rebounds, and 8.1 assists, while shooting 39% from the three-point line, while shooting 8 threes a game. And then Jalen Green, who many see as like the future for the Rockets, another young guy along with Alperen Şengün, is averaging 19 points, 4.5 boards, 3 assists, shooting 40% from the field, 37% from 3, and 80% from the free throw line. And then finally, Jabari Smith Jr., who last year, can't remember, Steven Silas was our coach last year, and he's garbage. Sorry, but he is. He was a bad coach. But Steven Silas last year did not run plays for Jabari Smith, and when they asked him about it, he goes, yeah, I don't run plays for him. Like, he's just going to have to get his offense, you know, through the flow of the offense. But they drafted him third overall to be one of the next big stars on their team. And Ime Udoka is actually using him and trying to get the most out of Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith Jr. is averaging 12 points, 7 boards, shooting 47% from the field, 35% from three, only shooting 56% from the free throw line, which worries me a little bit. That might mean there might be a cap on how well he can shoot from the three-point line, because free throws and three-pointers actually have a really high a really high carryover. Not always, but usually if you see a guy that shoots the free throw well, he can become a really good three-point shooter. But a person that just cannot make free throws usually struggles at the three-point line. So again, we'll see how that develops throughout the year. Yeah, this Rockets team, they're exciting. They're fun to watch. And there's just, there's a lot that they are going to go through this year. You know, there's going to be a lot of these young guys, you're going to see a lot of growth is what I'm trying to say. Guys stepping into roles that they've just never played before, being asked to do things. And if they can keep winning, they're going to be asked to contribute to a winning team instead of just going out there and trying to develop their game. They're going to be asked to play a role, and, you know, we need you to do this and this and this to win games. Next up is the Los Angeles Lakers. Early on in the year, Darvin Ham said that the Lakers were looking to pull back on LeBron James' role, have him play less than 30 minutes a night. That really hasn't been holding up. LeBron's been their best player. He's had to be for them to be successful. He's averaging 25.5 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, 57% from the field, 40% from 3, 68% from the free throw line. He and Anthony Davis have been their best players, their most impactful players, and they've had to be. This team has added a lot of depth, but they still just don't quite have the pieces to really take the pressure off of LeBron. Anthony Davis has been healthy, and he's been playing amazing defense. Like, him and Rudy Gobert are going to be in a battle all season long for Defensive Player of the Year. Davis is averaging 21.5 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, 3.5 blocks per game, while shooting 51% from the field, only 30% from 3, but he doesn't shoot a lot of those, but 87% from the free throw line. He has really looked good. He's looked way closer to the guy that he was with the Pelicans than he has at any time during his tenure with the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell has been playing really well for them. He's averaging 18.4 points per game, and he's been playing so well, and him and Austin Reeves really did not fit well together, so the team had to make a decision on who was going to be in the starting lineup, and they picked D'Angelo Russell. Austin Reeves is going to the bench. Now, he's still going to be playing 30 minutes a game, having a big impact, but the starting role is D'Angelo Russell right now. Their starting lineup is really interesting because, you know, it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, and D'Angelo Russell, and then it's two guys that are out there to play defense. That's their entire role. That's Cam Reddish and Torian Prince. Both guys can kind of shoot, not amazingly. They are out there to play defense. And then their bench, that's when they really bring in a lot of scoring. Coming off the bench, they have Rui Hachimura, Christian Wood, Austin Reeves now, Gabe Vincent. And also, one big thing to keep in mind with this Lakers team is Jared Vanderbilt has not played yet this year. I can't remember what it is that he injured, but he is still trying to come back from that. I think, is the missing piece that this team is. The piece that this team is missing right now. He brings a lot of energy, especially on the defensive end. He rebounds, which is where the Lakers have been struggling as a team. It's on the boards. But he is the guy that, you know, Anthony Davis covers the basket, and then Jared Vanderbilt can take on the team's best wing defensively. You don't want LeBron James having to cover really talented players all the time. That's just not who he is anymore. He's an old man. And so getting Jared Vanderbilt back will be big for this team, but it doesn't seem like he is going to be back super soon. Next up is the Phoenix Suns, which might be a little surprising. because of who they have on their team. But Devin Booker has only played 4 games, and Bradley Beal has only played in 3 games this year. So for the most part, it's been Kevin Durant with role players. Now, I think this team did a really good job of filling out their roster with minimum contracts. But again, those are minimum contract guys. Like, they're there to fill out the roster. They're not there to be starters. That being said, Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon have done a great job of filling in while their two big stars have been out. Eric Gordon's been averaging 13.5 points, and Allen's been averaging 12. So they've been really solid while they've been missing Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. The three haven't played together yet, and Bradley Beal, it looks like he's going to be out for a little while longer. He's got a back injury. Devin Booker has come back from his injury and has looked great since he got back, and has been a real big help to Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant, being the only star that's been healthy so far this year, has been putting up big numbers, like MVP level numbers. But I worry with how old he is and his injury history, is he going to be able to hold up throughout the year, especially having to expend so much energy early on in the year here. But Kevin Durant is averaging 31 points per game, 7 boards, 5 assists, shooting 53% from the field, 50% from the three-point line, and 86.4% from the free throw line. I mean, he has been otherworldly. He's been the Kevin Durant that we saw 10 years ago. He is still such a phenomenal player. And I think he's in like year 16 of his career. He is just absolutely amazing. One thing that the Suns got a lot of criticism for this summer was trading DeAndre Ayton. And in return, they got Yusuf Nurkic and Grayson Allen. Now, Grayson Allen's been playing a good role for them. Yusuf Nurkic is a really good screen setter. He's a good rebounder. He's a good passer. And the theory is that he fits better with the team. But I will point out that Nurkic is averaging 10 points and 9 boards per game. DeAndre Ayton, on a team that really is having some struggles right now with health, is averaging 12 points and 11 boards per game. And he's looked solid. So early on, it looks like maybe they should have held on to Ayton. But also Nurkic has fit well, and he's been doing a good job. But it would be interesting to see with their 3-star players and DeAndre Ayton what this team would really look like. But again, we'll never know. So next team in the Western Conference is the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans have really had troubles with health early on this year. Trey Murphy III has not played a single game yet. And he is an extremely valuable piece to them as a power forward, small forward that can come off the bench, really help them with scoring and shooting when either Zion or Brandon Ingram are off the floor. And then Jose Alvarado hasn't played a game yet. And he is a fireball off the bench. He comes in and immediately is in people's faces, plays great defense at the point guard position. And then on the offensive end, he's improved a lot and has become a viable offensive option. So those two have not played yet for the Pelicans, and they're 500 team right now. Brandon Ingram has been really the one carrying the load for this team. He's averaging 23 points per game, 5 boards and 5 assists, shooting 50% from the field, only 23.8% from the free throw or 3-pointer, which I think is definitely going to raise, especially as they get their guys back and there's a little less pressure on him. Zion has been playing well. He's played all the games, but he hasn't been Zion. He's averaging 22 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, but he's only shooting 52% from the field. And this is a guy that shoots normally well above 60% from the field. He seems like he doesn't have his normal explosive athleticism, which really worries me, and it should worry Pelicans fans. This is a guy that, when he is fully healthy, when he is explosive, he is one of the top 5 players in the entire league. Now, he hasn't been healthy much, and we haven't gotten to see that, but when we've gotten to see him play at that level, it is amazing. So I don't know if he's got a small injury that's lingering or if this is just the new Zion. On the Front Office podcast, Keith Smith was talking about how, you know, when Zion first came into the league, he was compared a lot to Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was this big, super athletic, physical player that played a lot like Zion, and then he started getting back and knee injuries, and towards the end of his career, he was still a good player, but he was a guy that shot, you know, mid-range jumpers, grabbed a few boards, played pretty good defense. He was never that super, you know, superstar player that he was in his first few years in the league, and it looks like Zion might be heading in that same direction, where he'll be a good player, maybe make an all-star team or two, but never live up to that full potential of what he could be. That might be where we're heading with Zion. I hope not. I hope whatever's going on with him, he gets it figured out, and he can be that player that he was just a couple years ago. But for Pelicans fans, you know, they just invested a lot of money into this guy. They're hoping that he can be the guy that really carries this team into the future and towards championship contention. So I'd be a little worried about how he's looked early on. One thing that I've really liked about the Pelicans this year is because of their injury struggles, even CJ McCollum has gotten injured and and has missed some time, is Jordan Hawkins, their rookie that they just drafted in the lottery this year, has looked really good and has been getting a lot of time. He's been playing 29 minutes per game, averaging 13 points, shooting 36% from the three-point line, which I think will go up as he gets more accustomed to the NBA game. But that's really the one big, silver lining for the Pelicans so far this year is that Jordan Hawkins is getting a lot of time on an NBA floor against NBA defenses and has looked good. Like, not great, but he's looked good. So that's a good sign for them. Next up is the Golden State Warriors, who are 6-7, and when Steph Curry is not in the game, they are not a good team. And he's missed the last couple games with an injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But he has to play for them to be good. Like, even in the minutes when he has played, in the few minutes that he's been off the floor, they have not been good at all. It seems like he's supposed to have this really good supporting cast around him. If you look at the names, Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, it looks like he should have help, but it has been all Steph, and if he's not in the game, they've just not been a good team. Steph's averaging 31 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, and 4 assists, shooting 49% from the field, 45% from three, and 93% from the free throw line. I mean, he has been the absolute best you could possibly be, and they're 6-7. Like, I am. If I was Luke Walton, the GM of this team, I'd be really worried about what's going on with this team. Especially because Klay Thompson is going to be getting a new contract. Are they going to be willing to give him another massive contract when he has not been that helpful this year? And I love Klay Thompson, but he is just... He looks like he's just... He's aged a ton. And that's the other thing, is Steph Curry is 35 right now. Like, you can't expect that he's going to stay at this level of play for a few more years. Like, he's going to start falling off. So, with Steph missing time, the other guys have gotten more minutes, more opportunities to score. Klay is averaging 13.8 points, Wiggins 10.5, and Chris Paul 9.2. Like, again, he just has zero help right now. If something were to happen to Steph, which hopefully it doesn't, where he has to miss like 30 games, I think this Warriors team doesn't make the playoffs. Andrew Wiggins, just a few years ago, was averaging like 22 points per game and was the Golden State Warriors' second best player. He's only averaging 10.5 points and just does not look like the same guy anymore. And then you have Draymond Green getting involved in a fight that he was not involved in and getting himself suspended for 5 games. I mean, I think nobody's really talking about it, but I think the Warriors might be imploding on themselves. Like, they are by far the highest payroll in the league, and they look bad. Like, they don't look like a good team at all, except for when Steph plays. And Steph has to play at an MVP level for them to win games. Jonathan Kuminga is probably the only guy that's been helpful, and he's should be like their 6th or 7th best player. In 20 minutes a game, he's averaging 12 points, shooting 42% from the field. He's only shooting 18% from 3, though. Guy can't shoot, but he can attack the basket. He's a super athlete. But yeah, I just don't see this Warriors team as currently constructed really doing anything big. I think they got to make some moves. One thing that I've been looking at a lot is the idea of sending like Chris Paul and Jonathan Kuminga, even though he's been playing well, along with a couple picks to the Raptors and try and get Pascal Siakam. Siakam could come in, play the starting center next to Draymond Green. Would give them another scoring option, give them some rebounding, give them a good defender. And possibly trading Andrew Wiggins as well. Even though he hasn't played well this year, he's still a very young guy on a pretty reasonable contract. I could see teams making pretty good offers to get him. One idea that I've thrown out is the Jazz sending Talen Horton-Tucker and Colin Sexton along with a first to them to get Andrew Wiggins. That would help out the Warriors with their guard depth, give them some versatility, give them a couple young guys, give them some scoring, and give the Jazz a guy that could hopefully be a number two option next to Lauri Markkanen. But anyway, this is the Warriors section, so I'm worried about the Warriors. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year unless some big changes happen. Now, the next team has not played well at all, but I'm not as worried about them, and that is the Los Angeles Clippers. They are 4-7, but they made some massive changes to their roster just a few games into the year. They made a big trade to go out and get James Harden and PJ Tucker from the 76ers. They just added Daniel Tice, who was bought out by the Pacers, because Mason Plumlee, who has been their backup center and has been playing pretty well there, is injured and is going to be out for a couple months. This is a team that I think really they just need to get these guys together. They need practice time. They need to figure out how this team works together because they have so much talent. And so I'm not that worried about them. I think on the offensive end, they need to learn how to work together. And then the defensive end, there needs to be a commitment to defend. They have just not been trying that hard on the defensive end as a team, and it definitely shows. But Leonard and Paul George have been putting up solid numbers. Paul George is averaging 24.5 points, 5.5 boards, 3.5 assists. Kawhi Leonard, 21 points, 5.5 boards, 3.5 assists. James Harden is the guy that I think will get things figured out. But he's so far is only averaging 16.5 points, 5 boards, 4.5 assists. He's a guy that last year averaged over 10 assists per game and over 20 points. I think he'll get things figured out. I think this team will get things figured out. They just need to kind of take a step away and figure out how they all fit together, get some practice time. But it's tough because they're in Los Angeles, and after making such a high-profile trade, I mean, that's all anybody's paying attention to, and so every mistake they make is just magnified right now. But I'm not worried about the Clippers. I think that they will jump up, and they'll start overtaking teams like the Pelicans, like the Golden State Warriors, and start moving their way up. Next is the Jazz. The Jazz are 4-8. Now, this is my team, so I'm going to keep it to the normal 3.5-4 minutes. If you want to hear a lot more on the Jazz, I'll be putting out a Jazz Talk podcast here pretty soon. Larry Markkanen's been their best player, averaging 23.7 points per game, eight rebounds. He's getting a steal, one steal, and one block per game, shooting really well from the field. He has just really stepped into being the number one guy. He looks real comfortable there now. And now with Jordan Clarkson figuring things out, Jordan was really struggling at the beginning of the year, but he is starting to figure things out. That's going to take a lot of pressure off of Lowry. That'll make it to where defenses can't put as much pressure on Lowry. Clarkson is averaging 19 points per game, 3 boards, and 5 assists. Newcomer John Collins, they just traded for him this summer, has looked really good for them. He gives them this big athletic power forward that they just have not had for years. He also gives them a secondary rim protector, which now with Walker Kessler out with injury, which we'll get into in a second, has been really important to them. They still can protect the rim with just Lowry and John. Not as well, but they still can get the job done. But John Collins is averaging 15 points, just under 9 rebounds, and a block per game. And I think as he gets more comfortable with the Jazz, those numbers will probably shoot up to 16, 17 points per game, closer to 10 boards, and just look a lot more comfortable in his new environment. Now, Walker Kessler is hurt, and he is going to be out for at least a couple weeks. That's when he'll be reevaluated. We'll see. The injury that he got, when I saw it happen, I knew exactly what it was. It happened in the very first game of the year against the Kings. Sabonis hooked his arm, and it hyperextended his elbow, which sprained Walker's UCL, his UCL ligament there. Which is something that baseball pitchers tear a lot and javelin throwers tear a lot. Now, luckily, it's a sprain. It didn't tear. Because if it was a tear, that's Walker gone for the whole year because you have to get Tommy John surgery. and they basically have to replace that ligament with a cadaver ligament. It takes a year to recover from that. So luckily it's sprained, but it's something that you really want to be careful with and not push. And Walker was playing pretty well, even dealing with that injury, but the medical team decided it's best to just pull him off the floor, let it recover, let him get back to full strength before we really push it. Especially because the Jazz, you know, they'd like to make the playoffs this year, but it's not one of those situations where it's like we need to make the playoffs or this whole season was a failure. They still have a lot of young guys that they're developing. They're still trying to figure out how this team all fits together. But one young guy that they're trying to develop that has looked great is Keontae George. Keontae George, they drafted the 16th pick this year. And early on in the year, he was coming off the bench, playing, you know, 12 to 16 minutes a game or so. He has worked his way into the starting lineup and has looked really good there. He is averaging, so far on the year, he's averaging 8.5 points, 2.5 boards, 5 assists, shooting 39% from the field, 33% from three, and 80% from the free throw line. And again, he's a rookie. He's never played point guard before in his entire life. He's been a shooting guard his entire career. And so this is the first time he's been asked to play point guard. And his assist numbers, like the next time we do one of these roundups, his assist numbers are going to be way up because he's been having a bunch of games around 8-9 assists per game, you know, in a game. He looks confident out there on the offensive end. On the defensive end, he's a fighter, and he's 6'4". He needs to put on a little bit more muscle mass to really be good on the defensive end, but being 6'4 is going to be a huge advantage for him on that end. Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Setzebaugh have not played with the Jazz yet this year. They've been playing down in the G League, and they've been playing really well with the G League, and I expect them to stay down there for most of the year. I only see them, either of those two guys, getting a good amount of playing time if there's a significant amount of injuries, or if, like, last trade deadline, they sent out, like, 3 or 4 of their rotation players for either one rotation player or, you know, like last year, they basically got no guys that really fit into their rotation. They just got a first round pick, which they're going after. But they're playing well down in the G League. They're getting a lot of practice time down there. And so maybe later on in the year we'll see them, but if it's not until next season that we're seeing them get some run, I think they'll be far improved from what they were, you know, just in this preseason. The last thing I wanted to talk about with the Jazz is Kelly Olynyk, and his versatility on the offensive end has just been invaluable for them. His ability to shoot, his ability to pass, dribble, and his size on the defensive end helps him a lot. Moving on. Actually, hold on. I'm going to save this. And then, with a new recording in the same episode, we'll be back. Okay, so the next team up in the Western Conference is the Spurs. The Spurs are 3-9. And as I was talking about earlier when I brought up Chet Holmgren, the Spurs' best player has already been Victor Wembanyama. He's a 19-year-old rookie, and he is already the Spurs' best player. He is averaging 19 points per game, 9 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2.5 blocks, while shooting 44% from the field, 28% from 3, which I think will go up, and 77% from the free throw line. He is just absolutely amazing. 7'4", moves like a guard, just an absolutely amazing player, and he is going, as long as he can keep putting on muscle and stay healthy, he is going to be one of the best players in the league. One thing that's been really interesting with the Spurs team is Greg Popovich has played Jeremy Sochan at the point guard position. Sochan is a power forward, small forward usually. He's like 6'8", 6'9", 230, known as a really good defender, rebounder, plays a at the power forward position, plays a lot like Dennis Rodman. And they've been experimenting with him at point guard. He's had his struggles. But I like the idea, though. I like that the Spurs basically have decided, like, we want our five best players on the court together. You know, and that is Sochan, Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Victor, and Zach Collins. And so if Sochan has to play out of position, that's the way we're going to do it. And I think that Sochan has the versatility to figure it out and do it. It's just, it's, we'll see if they stick with the experiment, because I would like to see them stick with it and really give it a try and see if it can work out. You know, if you give it 40 games and it's still just like, this ain't working, then okay, you move on. But I don't want to see them scrap the idea, and you know, you never really know if it could have worked or not. Especially because the Spurs are not trying to make the playoffs. They're probably trying to get themselves another high draft pick to add to this team. They're going to be, I think that they're going to be aggressive in free agency this summer, possibly in trades as well to add to this team. So this year is really about finding what exactly you have with this group. How good can Vassell be? How good can Keldon Johnson be? Is Victor Wembanyama really the number one star player that we're looking for? Or does the hunt for that number one guy need to continue? Can Sochan play point guard? You know, and they have other young guys too, like Malachi Branham, Blake Wesley, Trey Jones, Charles Bassey, who's looked really good at the backup center. You know, those guys that they're trying to get minutes to as well, along with Julian Champagne and Sidy Sissoko. Like, this is a team that's really just in figuring out who can play, how well can they play, how much can they develop, what do we have here as a team. That's their number one goal this season. Now, Devin Vassell has been injured the last couple games. Julian Champagne has actually been the guy filling in for him in the starting lineup. I don't know what Vassell's injury is, but hopefully he can get back and keep playing at the level that he was, because he was averaging 17 points, and he looked really solid at the shooting guard position, and looked like, you know, he could be a guy that can play a really big role next to Victor going into the future. Next up is the Portland Trailblazers. Now, this is a team that made a major shakeup this summer, sending away Damian Lillard and Yusuf Nurkic. They've gone to the young guys, and unfortunately, they have really been plagued by injury. Scoot Henderson has only gotten to play 5 games this year due to injury. Anthony Simons has only played 1 game. Robert Williams III is out for the year with a knee surgery. Malcolm Brogdon got hurt, which he's not one of the young guys, but he was kind of the stabilizing factor with this team. One of the nice things about that, though, is Shaedon Sharpe has gotten a lot of time on the floor. He's playing 38 minutes per game. Tamani Kamara has gotten a lot of time. Jabari Walker has gotten a lot of time. So, and Skylar Mays as well. They've gotten the opportunity to see what some of these other guys can do and who can be part of the next team going forward. Jeremy Grant, who signed a massive contract with them in free agency right before Damian Lillard requested a trade, has been playing really well. And for the Trailblazers, I think that they're hoping that he keeps this level up so that when they get to the trade deadline, teams are kind of lining up to bring in Jeremy Grant. Because I don't see him as part of their future. But he's been averaging 22.5 points, 4.5 boards, shooting 43% from the field, 36% from three, 79% from the free throw line. Plays solid defense. He's a guy that can come in, be like your third option, and really be a solid player. So I expect him to be moved by the trade deadline. Shaden Sharp, like I said, has been playing 38 minutes a game, which is really good for his development, to get tons of time on the floor and really be able to figure out what he's going to be. He's been averaging 18.5 points, 6 boards, 3.5 assists, shooting 41% from the field, 33% from 3, 82% from the free throw line. So Shaden's numbers are a little down, but the Trailblazers do not have much talent around him to pull defenders away. And then DeAndre Ayton, who I brought up earlier, is averaging 12 points, 11 boards. He's been looking really good. Looks like he's finally starting to be an aggressive player and really try and get after it. Yeah, this is a team that this was supposed to be a year where they could figure out who these young guys were and just how good they can be. But these injuries are just not helping out with that situation. You really wanted to see Simons, Henderson, and Sharp on the floor all together to figure out if those three could play together or if there's a group of two of them that really look like they could be the future. But they're not getting that opportunity to see that on the floor and see what all these guys look like. Which I think is, really sucks for the Trailblazers. For them to be successful in the future, they really need to know what it is that they have in all these young guys. The final team in the Western Conference is the Memphis Grizzlies. They are bad. They are really bad. And Ja Morant is suspended for the first 25 games of the year. When he gets back, I don't think he's going to make that big of a difference to this team. They are 2-9. Desmond Bane has been playing amazing. And this team sucks. Desmond Bane's been averaging 25.5 points, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists, shooting 46% from the field, 35% from three, 84% from the free throw line. Jaren Jackson Jr. is getting a lot of time on the floor. He's been used as the number two option. That is not his best role. He needs to be the number three guy. But he's averaging 19 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 1.5 blocks, 44% from the field, 32% from three, 82% from the free throw line. This team, they're broken. It might be time to kind of scrap the team and go, okay, we're going to hold on to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. Everything else can go, including Ja Morant. Ja Morant has had big legal troubles lately, and that's why he's suspended right now. And it sounds like the Grizzlies basically have to have a babysitter with him at all times to make sure he stays out of trouble. He is an amazing player. He is such an amazing point guard. But at some point, as the Grizzlies, you got to go, is it worth the headache? We could get a ton back from him. We could get a lot of draft picks and probably a couple good young players back if we traded him. It might be worth it to do it at this point. Marcus Smart was their big move this summer. They went out and traded for him. And, yeah, he does good on the defensive end, but he's not a top-level player. And now he's injured. He's going to be out for a while, too. I think it was like 5 weeks is what they said he's going to be out for. Like, this team's in trouble. And they are really missing Brandon Clark and Steven Adams. Both guys are out for the entire year with injuries. Steven Adams is one of the best screen setters, really good defender, great rebounder, and just a stabilizing factor for this team. And then Brandon Clark is just super high energy, good defender. They're just missing both those guys a lot. I don't know if Taylor Jenkins, their coach, can get this team back together. I just think the Grizzlies need a major shakeup. This team, they don't look good, and they're angry on the floor. A lot of technical fouls, a lot of screaming at refs. I don't know. And again, when John Morant gets back, again, they'll be 25 games into the year. They're 2-9 now. So if they stay at the same pace, they'll be what? Let's see. 4-21? 5-20? Even if John Morant came back and was playing at MVP level, he's not going to dig a team out of that kind of hole. I don't know. I think this is a lost year for the Grizzlies. But anyway, if you're still around, thank you so much for listening. I hope all of you have a safe, fun, family-filled Thanksgiving. And we're doing a different sign-off. Gonna change things up a little bit. So we'll see you later.